It's time for the Ronin role-playing podcast. Join Scormy as he plays through various tabletop role-playing games entirely on his own. Some are specifically designed for solo play, while with others he will be using a GM emulator. Regardless, come enjoy the strange world of solo role-playing with your host, Scormy.
Hey there, everybody. Happy Halloween. I'm your host, Scormy. Welcome to the Halloween special for Ronin Roleplaying for 2021. Now, this year, or really what is our first Halloween special, last year's didn't really count because that was a special preview. The series hadn't really started yet at that point. This is really our first Halloween special, and I thought we'd start off with a bang. We'd start off with a game we've done before on Knights of the Tabletop, but a game I love. I believe it is probably my favorite horror game of all time, and that's Dead of Night. Now, why do I love this game so much? It's everything I love about role-playing games. It's rules light, it is cinematic in tone. It is super easy to play, super easy to make characters, and lighthearted fun. Oh, it can be gory. It can be as gruesome and horrific as you want it to be. But it also can be funny and light, depending on the group. Well, we're going to be doing this solo, so I'm not sure how funny it's going to be, but see how it goes. Anyway, so we're going to go through the whole rigmarole today, from making the character all the way through playing in one big sitting, which shouldn't be that long, really, because it's one character and we're just going to, you know, see how it goes. Hopefully, it won't be an hour of making up a character and 15 minutes or so of actual play, like last year. I still haven't gotten over Seekers Beyond the Shroud. That one cut me deep. Love the game. But yeah, that was harsh. Didn't even get into the front door. But hey, I'm not bitter. No. Anyway, so I have an idea for what the story's going to be and how my character's going to play into it. Now, having a good starting point for a solo role-playing game is not a bad thing. Knowing where you're going to start off is not a bad thing. That's just good storytelling. And honestly, a lot of people would say, well, Dead of Night is a hard game to play solo because how can you really have any, you know, scares if you already know what's going to come, what the monster's going to be? I'm not looking to be scared. I'm looking to have fun, just to see where the story goes. It's like when you walk into a movie, okay? If I walk into a horror movie and I know it's a Friday the 13th movie, I'm pretty well assured that it's going to be a slasher film. I can speak. Words are hard. Anyway, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be a slasher film. If I walk into a Nightmare on Elm Street film, I'm pretty sure the bad guy's going to be Freddy Krueger. Now, if I walk into a movie like Hereditary and I know nothing about it, sure, there's a potential for surprises and scares. And, you know, at least for the first time, The Sixth Sense was like that because there were twists and turns that you wouldn't know until you'd actually seen the movie. But the same could be argued for Friday the 13th, or Halloween, or any horror film that had never been done before. You may have an idea of what it's going to be, but are you sure? I mean, there might be something that happens that you don't understand. I mean, a lot of people thought The Sixth Sense was just going to be a straightforward ghost story. But there were twists in there that went, oh, okay. Got it. That's different. And it made an even better film. So, yeah, I'm going to walk into this knowing what the bad thing is. I know where it's going. I have a starting point to get the plot rolling. Beyond that, the cards will decide. And we will be using Game Master's Apprentice, the horror version. Got a little hockey mask and everything on it. We're going to be using that to help us determine what happens. And it's got everything we're going to need. We're even going to name our character using these cards. Speaking of naming our character, let's get right into making that character. And I just need to pull the book over here. First things first, we need to come up with a concept. And I'm just going to throw a quick concept up in the notes. First, let's get a name. Gabriel Meadows. Bam. All right, so he's Gabriel Meadows. And a brief idea of who is he, what's his involvement with the situation, what's his relationship with the other characters. Well, there aren't other characters that are PCs, so that's not even important. I can just throw out like a one-line description. And Gabe is a love-struck teen. Okay, so now we got to go to attributes. You have four pairs of attributes in this game, and they're kind of opposites of each other, like identify, obscure, persuade, dissuade, escape, pursue, and assault, protect. Right? Easy enough. Now, the total of these two pairs will start out combined at 10. So like you can have a 9 in one and a 1 in the other. This will change if we get any specializations, but start off with, they're going to be combined up to equal 10. So I think he's going to have a 4 in identify and a 6 in obscure, a persuade of 4 and a dissuade of 6. An escape of 7 and a pursue of 3, an assault of 2 and a protect of 8. Now that seems a little high. Let's go 3 and 7. All right. Now, do we want any specializations? Like for identify, you could have like crime scene investigator, insatiable curiosity, librarian. How about obscure, discreet, hide in plain sight, look over there? I'm going to take hide in plain sight, which I will write down here, hide in plain sight, which will be at 8, 2 higher than the highest I have for that pair. Currently, my highest is 6, but I have to reduce my pair by 2. Either I could reduce one of them by 2 points, or I could reduce both of them by 1. And that's what I'm going to do in this case. I'm going to reduce identify at 4, 3, and 4, parentheses 3, and 6, 5, so that you can tell which one was the original and which is the current. Now, persuade, dissuade. I don't see him being a very persuasive person. Some examples would be charmer, Mr. Fix-It, position of authority. Now, why Mr. Fix-It? Because you can use persuade to fix things. You persuade the engine to actually work. You can persuade bullies to not beat you up, that sort of thing. You can persuade people to follow your lead. So it can be a charisma type thing. It can be a defensive type thing. It can be used for repair. Dissuade can be the opposite. It can be intimidating. It can be saboteur or thug. You can dissuade people from following that leader. You can dissuade somebody from acting in their own interests. You can dissuade that machine from working properly. That's why I kind of like this place. I don't want to do a I don't think I'm going to do a specialization on that one. Then you have Pursue and Escape. Pursue has like Headlock, No Escape, Trailblazer. Escape has Getaway Driver, Houdini, Run for Your Lives. Now, Run for Your Lives sounds fun. That we would have, again, at 8. And I'm going to drop my Dissuade by 2 to 6 parentheses 4. So it's currently a 4, but it started as a 6. Now I have Escape Pursue. No, I'm... What? I did that on the wrong one. Dumb. I deliberately wasn't changing Persuade Dissuade. And Run for Your Lives would be a 9, actually. We'll drop that one. 7, 6. Pursue would be 3, 2. This from here. Okay, and finally we have Assault Protect. Assault Protect. Examples for Assault are like Fisticuffs, Gun Totin, and Vampire Slayer. Protect has Bodyguard, Dodge, Holy Sacrament. Gonna say Dodge. Dodge would be at 9. I'm gonna drop Assault, 2, 3, 2, and Protect goes to 7, 6. Alrighty then. We've got our attributes, we've got our specializations. We're good to go. Now then, survival points. Everybody starts with 5. Unless for special occasions, you decide to have more or less. I'm just going to go with 5. Good place to start. Bad habits. There's always one character in a horror movie who decides to go out for a smoke just as a werewolf is sizing up the cabin for a midnight snack. Or who decides to make out with her boyfriend right there in the crypt. These traits are called bad habits, and they reward the characters for causing trouble and acting to type. Think of them as personalized cliches, little foibles, or follies that cause problems for the group and put the character or her friends in danger. A character might not have any bad habits, or they can have a few. One or two is about right. Sure, they can give a character an extra way to get survival points, but she has to put herself at risk to take advantage of it. A bad habit could conceivably be any quirk, behavior, or foible, so long as falling is contrary to the laws of survival, causing problems or putting others at risk. And they have an example, like for a vampire hunter might have a bad habit of recklessly charges on ahead. Now, for me, I'm going to say he has the bad habit of being a voyeur. And we'll get into that when we start up the game as to where exactly this is coming from. But let's see. Do we have any notes we need to do? Nope. That's it. Character's done. Now, basically how we do things is simple. You roll 2d10, you add an attribute or a specialization as it may apply, and you try to exceed a task score. The target for uncontested standard is 15. And if it's contested, it's 10 plus the attribute of the monster, let's say. You'd have to exceed that to do what you need to do, be it run or attack or whatever. The game master in this game doesn't roll anything. Just the players do. And usually in the game, no one player rolls twice in a row. If player X rolled last time, then player Y should be rolling for the group the next time, and so forth, so that everybody stays involved, right? They may need to do it for attacking, they may need to do it for defending, whatever. Now, obviously in this case, I'm going to have to roll every time because I'm the only player. That's kind of it's different. That's fine, though. That's just the way it is. But I'm going to call him Geeky Bookworm. No, I'm not going to say that note out loud yet because it's important. We'll get to that soon enough. All right, so I got a little note down. We know the system works. We're good to go. Basically, one point, though, survival points are not just hit points. They're hit points, they're sanity points, they're whatever you need them to be. And as the tension ratchets up, it gets more and more dangerous. And if the tension hits 15, game over, everybody loses. If you haven't beaten the monster, by the time tension hits 15, it's over. Or if all the characters run out of survival points before then, it's over. In this case, we're just going to do basically until I lose all my survival points or the monster is beaten. I'm not going to worry so much about tension other than for keeping track of what the monster can do. Okay? Unless, of course, this goes a little long. We've already been doing this for 20 minutes. Now, I know it's going to edit down less than that, but bear with me. Okay, so we're ready to go. What is the name of our story? The movie we are going to be enacting today is Blood Demon from Dimension Zero. Why, yes, this is a cheesy 1960s sci-fi horror film. More horror than sci-fi. So, we're going to begin introduced to Gabriel Meadows, who is your geeky neighbor next door. Now, it's a fine autumn day, and everyone's getting ready for Halloween. And Gabriel, who's a little shorter than average, a little thinner than average, he likes to read books as opposed to play sports, and you know, he gets picked on a lot by the kids at school. He's got big, thick Coke bottle glasses, and his hair is always a little mussed up. His dark reddish brown hair always has a few too many zits. And, you know, he tends to wear a lot of hand-me-down clothes. But he's got two neighbors that are of importance in his life. On one side is the weird old lady in the neighborhood. She's lived there longer than anyone can remember. Her house is always in a little bit of disrepair, and she can't really go out and take care of her yard anymore. So Gabriel's mom kind of pushed him to, you know, do the right thing. Be a good Boy Scout. Go out there and mow her lawn. See if you can help her with her groceries. Be a good neighbor. Won't you, Gabe? So every other Saturday, he's over pushing a mower. Not one of those motorized ones, but the old push ones. Yeah, you know the ones. He has to push those things through the high, wet grass, trying to take care of her lawn and trim the hedges and go and get her groceries for her and bring in her mail. When he's not studying or reading his sci-fi pulp books or his comic books, he has to take care of chores for Miss Grigsby next door. Put that down. Miss Grigsby. And that doesn't leave him a whole lot of time for his one other interest in life. And that's the neighbor on the other side of the house. Why, next door, Vanessa lives. Vanessa is the most popular girl in school. She's tall, blonde, she's gorgeous. She's played by a 20-something starlet, but whatever, it doesn't matter. She is everything, Gabe. She is his world. It doesn't matter that she's dating the quarterback on the football team. It doesn't matter that she's the head cheerleader. All he knows is that she's nice to him when she sees him out doing stuff in the yard or helping out Ms. Grigsby. She'll smile at him and say hello in a neighborly way. But to Gabe, why, that was just perfect. And Gabe, well, he's a growing boy. So being a teen And being that this is the 60s and movies were getting a more risque, Gabe got into a little bit of a habit. Gabe likes to peek in Vanessa's windows. So yeah, his bad habit is he's a voyeur. And if Todd, who's Vanessa's boyfriend, or his friends ever found out, Gabe would be beaten into a pulp. Todd, you be boyfriend. Sorry, taking notes on my character sheet, so I have all this information right here, because Vanessa and Todd may just pop up in the story as we move along. Now, Halloween comes, and there's a big party going on over at Todd's place. And of course, Gabriel wasn't invited. Why would he be? He's not exactly popular at school. But of course, Vanessa's going. And that's great. He's really hoping to see her in her outfit because he knows she's going as a sexy witch. And oh my God, he would so love to see her in that outfit. Moreover, he'd love to see her dressing in it. But dang, he has to freaking help out Miss Grigsby. Fine. He's got her weekly shopping list, so he runs to the store on his bike as fast as he can. He picks up, goes shopping, grabs all her stuff as fast as he can, and loads it all in his basket for his bike, and he rides back as fast as he can, and he gets back to Grigsby's place. It's getting on towards the evening, but if he just delivers fast enough, he could get in there and maybe get upstairs, maybe get a little look before she leaves. Or at least maybe he could say goodbye. But Miss Grigsby doesn't answer the door. So, odd, so he knocks again, a little more urgently, but he doesn't hear anything, so tries the doorknob, and it's unlocked. So, he'll go inside. Hello? Miss Grigsby? It's Gabriel. I've got your shopping. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to come in. I don't want the milk to sour. I don't know why I'm giving a British accent, but whatever. And he'll carry two bags in and step into the sitting room on the way to the kitchen. And let me do a little roll here. And he'll kick something on the ground and trip and drop the bags. And when he looks, there's Ms. Grigsby laying on the ground, her face purple, tongue sticking out of her mouth, swollen. She's clearly dead. He scurries away from her. Never seen a dead person before. He doesn't know what to do. Darn, I don't have time. Should I call the... No, I don't know. What should I do? And he remembers all the kids have been afraid of coming to Ms. Grigsby's house because she's the old witch on the block. They won't come up to her place even on Halloween. He looks around. He's never even been in her house before. He would just drop off her stuff at the door. She would leave a note with his the shopping list out every week. Looks around and, wow, this place is odd. Old, old, old decorations, everything covered in dust. And he sees books, you know, shelves of just these old, old books. And she's got this table with candles and weird symbols and little statuettes, and there's like a bowl that's got smoking bits of half-burned like herbs or something in it. He's not sure. And on the table there's this big tome and it's wide open. And it's like got all these weird drawings and these crazy drawings and writings. And wow. Wow, maybe she was a witch. Wow, maybe the kids were right. Oh, God, I shouldn't be in here. I'm going to get cursed. Oh, man. What should I do? Nothing smart. Let's see. That's a 14. Yeah, he can escape. But in doing so... He grabs the book slams it closed, shoves it in his coat as best he can, and just jumps over the body and runs to the door, closes it behind him, and gonna run upstairs real quick. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, geez. Oh, man, he forgot about Vanessa. So he'll rush over to the window, but, oh, darn, he missed her. And there's Todd's car out front. That big old meathead. Let's see, is he thinking straight? Is he thinking straight? No, he is not thinking straight. He's going to run downstairs, and he sees Vanessa coming out the front door, saying something to her mom as she goes to leave, and he jumps, comes out on the porch, and, hey, Vanessa, hey! She'll look over and,
oh, hi, Gabe.
Todd's looking at him from the walkway, just stares beady eyes at him, staring daggers. What you doing out here, Gabe? Ain't you got no more books to read? Whatever, Todd.
Have a good night, Vanessa. Hey, you too, Gabe.
And she'll come down and give Todd a little hug, and he'll bring her over to the car and put her in the car, and as he closes the door, he'll turn and stare some more daggers at Gabe, and then go over and get into his hot rod. And vroom! And drives off. A little too fast. But she's too good for you. He's gonna go inside. Boy, I wish I could do something about that guy. Oh, I wish. Man, she should be with me. Oh, man. No, I bet there's so, if I was like her next, you know, Miss Grigsby, I could have done something. If I'd known she was a witch, I totally would have had her do something. Wait, maybe I could. So now we're going to transition to a new scene, and this is where stuff is going to go to the more, we don't know what's going to happen. We're going to open up with Gabe's parents have left. They're off going to a Halloween party of their own, off with some friends from work, and leave Gabe alone. You know, he's got, oh, hey, Gabe, dinner's waiting for you in the stove if you'd want it. We're going off to that party now. You sure you don't want to come?
No, Mom. No, I got it. Thanks.
Yeah, I got it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have a great Halloween myself. Yeah. As soon as they leave, he goes and raids the basement, gets a bunch of candles from the emergency stash and for when the power goes out, goes to Mom's bathroom, and, you know, she's got some incense in there somewhere, so he grabs some of that, and he remembers from some old horror films and some of those Vault of Horror comics, things he should write down and put on his little table, or what they call that, an altar, right? Yeah. So he's going to make up his own little altar in the bedroom. And so, yeah, I mean, he could do this it'd be better if he did it like in a graveyard or something, but nah. Even he's too scared to do that. Who's he kidding? He'd be too scared to do it in the backyard. Oh, well. He'll just do it up here in the bedroom, man. That'll work. Yeah. Screw that, Todd. He's going to get his. And so he's going to crack open that book and just open it up to some random page and light those candles. And he's drew a star on a piece of paper, and he has it pinned down by a bowl. Old metal. Oh, actually more like a cooking pot from his Boy Scout, or he's one of his Boy Scout camping kits. And he's got some incense burning in that. Disconnected the fire alarm downstairs so it won't go off. You know, he's thinking he doesn't want to have no noises disturbing him. And he turned on a scary movie in the background so that he gets him in the mood. Yeah, no, he's got some, you know, okay, it's some sci-fi UFO movie, but whatever, he doesn't care. It's atmospheric, man. And yeah, so he's gonna, you know, got this book in front of him. He's got candles to read it by, and
He doesn't know what the heck he's doing, but man, he's going to do it. He's going to get that Todd guy. He's got, for all those times he teased him and all those times they gave him wedgies or stole his shoes during a gym class so he had to walk home barefoot or in his, just in his socks. Freaking guys, they all need to pay. Right. Yeah. That's what I was hoping for. Okay. So I needed a 15, and I rolled a 17 plus 4. So I got a 21. And all I needed was a 15. Even if I needed a 20, make it a hard roll. It succeeded. Okay. Nothing seems to happen. So he reads the passage, and he's like, flips over, and it seems to go to a different section. He's like, boy, oh. These words don't even seem to make sense. I don't even understand how you pronounce this stuff, but oh man. It was stupid. I should be out. Dan, I missed out on all the trick-or-treating too. Sits there and wait. Oh man, Ms. Grigsby! Oh geez. Gosh. What am I gonna do? Well, let's see if he thinks straight and decides what would be a proper plan, or he tries something stupid. You know what? Let's just randomly draw for it. Does he try something stupid? No. He's a good Boy Scout. He's going to go downstairs, he grabs a phone, and he dials up the police.
Hello? Hello? Yeah, this is Gabriel Meadows. Yeah, I live over on Firth Street.
First Street, not Firth.
I live on First Street. Yeah, and I don't know if you know Miss Grigsby. The old lady, she lives right next door. I do her shopping for her sometimes. I take care of her yard. Well, I went in because she wasn't answering the door when I tried to deliver her groceries, and she's laying on the floor, and I think she needs help. Could someone come? Okay. Thanks.
And so he'll hang up, and we'll pick up a few minutes later. There's an ambulance out front, and they're wheeling her out, and police are talking to Gabe. And the policeman will be saying, so, you say you were delivering her groceries, and you tripped over her. Is that correct, Gabe?
Yeah, yes, sir. It was really dark, and I don't usually go in her house, but she wasn't answering the door, you see, and, oh, that's not like her, especially on grocery day, you know? Usually I'll knock, and she'll yell that, you know, she'll be right there, and I leave her groceries at the door, you know? But, and, you know, then she'll leave me a little envelope the next day to pay for it. You know, I'm okay with, you know, waiting a day. That's not a problem. But, you know, you see, it's just she wasn't answering, so I didn't want her milk to get sour. So, I understand that. But. Well, it just looks like it's the groceries aren't. It doesn't look like you just dropped them a few minutes ago, Gabe. Well, no, it was this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Gabe, I know you're, you know, young, but can you tell me why you waited so long to call us?
I mean, it's been what, 4 or 5 hours now?
Oh, well, I was scared, you know? I'm sorry, officer. I've just never seen a dead body before, and it really shook me. I mean, I've seen like a dead squirrel and stuff, you know, with the Boy Scouts, and, you know, but that's different. She was all purple, and, you know, it was really bad. And so I just that kind of ran.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you wouldn't know anyone who might have wanted to hurt for Gabriel, do you?
What?
No, I mean, Miss Grigsby, you know, she's got a kind of queer reputation, you know? She's, everyone's, you know,
yeah, I know, Gabe. Everyone says she's a witch.
Yeah, you know, all the kids say it, but everyone's afraid. I mean, nobody'd go near her, as far as I know. I don't know anybody wishes her ill. I mean, oh, they may say stuff, you know, especially around Halloween, but, you know, wanting to go and play a trick on her, but nobody ever does because, you know, well, they say she's a witch and they're afraid they'll, like, turned into a frog or something, you know? But, you know, I'm not afraid. I won't go in her house. So I wouldn't have normally, but... she always answers the door, you know, and she's always been, you know, I don't know, not really nice, but never mean to me. And I mean, a couple years ago, I did some stuff helping out the old folks home across town, part of the Boy Scouts, you know, and a lot of them people seem kind of gruff too, but when you get to know them, they're nice people. And I figure Miss Grigsby's the same way. She's just, you know, she's had a hard life and, you know, she, you know, just wants to be left alone. So I think it's mean of kids to, you know, say things about her. Because, you know, she's just a queer old duck. She's, well, I guess was. I don't know. Okay. I get it, Kate. That's fine. You know, I got your phone number, and if we need to talk to you again, you mind your parents bring you down to chat with us, give us a little more details maybe after you've had a chance to, you know, think and, you know, maybe get over the shock a little bit? Oh, yeah, that'd be fine. I'd be fine. I'd be, you know, anything to help. That'd be great. Yeah, sure. Sure, officer. Okay. Thanks, kid. And, you just, you know, why don't you go ahead and, go on up to bed and, maybe, you know, make yourself a hot cup of milk or something. I hear that might help you keep away some bad dreams. Oh, okay. Thanks, officer. Thank you.
Now, suddenly he's got a southern accent. Where that's coming from.
Anyway, so
much for Ms. Grigsby. Has anything untoward happened?
Sure.
Cue the weird music. And there's weird lights out towards the back of the house as Gabe goes back inside and turns off the porch light and blows out the candle in the jack-o'-lantern on the porch, turns off the porch light, heads upstairs to bed. Doesn't really notice the weird glowing from outside in the backyard. What with the overheads on the police and the ambulance that are slowly starting to leave. So now let's change the scene. Let's switch on over to the party, not the one with the parents. Let's switch to the one with Vanessa and Todd are at, and they're playing that surf music and everyone's doing the, you know, the hit it, you know, the twist and all that sort of, you know, it's a standard early 60s film. Yeah. They're all hip, and somebody broke into the booze stash. They're drinking Todd's dad's liquor. And I'm going to say that, give myself a couple points of attention there. I'm going to say that Todd's gotten a little drunk, but Vanessa wants to go home. She's too nice to drink. She really thinks Todd shouldn't be drinking either. But, oh, it's okay, baby. I got this under control. I'm good.
Okay, Todd. Well, I want to go home. I'm going to get a cab.
No, baby, I got it. Come on, baby. Let me get you home. It's going to be okay. All right. Well, got a 10. And I'm going to give him fives across the board for that. So I didn't work up stats for him because, you know, why would I for a victim? Now, keep in mind, all player characters are victims in this game. So even Gabe is considered a victim. Todd's going to try to drive, but nah, he can't get the car to start. He's having difficulties. Darn thing. What the hey? She gets out of the car and stomps off.
No, sir, Todd, I'm not driving with you. You're too drunk. I'm walking.
And she'll grab one of her friends and...
Come on, Cindy. I need you to walk with me.
Baby, it's like 2 miles.
I don't care.
Takes off her high heels and starts walking barefoot. She's indignant. How dare her try to drive her home drunk. Never mind, Cindy's half drunk. Doesn't matter. It's Halloween. She doesn't want to be alone.
Come on, Cindy. You can keep me company. You can stay with me tonight.
Never mind. Cindy is not going to say no to the most popular girl in the school. And if this were a 19 or a, you know, 2010s or 2020s movie, Cindy has a crush, Vanessa. So she's more than happy to stay the night with Vanessa. Anyway, moving on. Between Todd and a couple other football players, they managed to sober up enough to get the car running, and Todd's going to go find Vanessa and give her a piece of his money. He's just going to break up with her right now. Who's she to say he's a big old meathead? Never mind, she didn't say that, but whatever. He and a couple of his buddies from the school, they're going to give her a piece of his mind. Yeah. They've each had three beers. Oh, yeah, they're fooey on her. So, yeah, he still can't drive properly, but he's weaving on the street. Three whole beers. And he doesn't see them. And he's driving along and heading back towards Vanessa's place. And they see weird lights. And Craig, one of the guys in the back seat, he's like,
"Hey, Todd, I see red lights. I think the cops are up there."
"Oh, man, the cops? I've had like 2 beers. Oh, no, man."
He'll try to pull over and,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, he rolled it too. He crashes into a parked car.
Man.
This is in the time before, well, right about the time where seatbelts were starting to be a thing. And, but he got a face full of steering wheel because, you know, lap belts and no airbags. So,
oh, man.
Oh, everybody's all shook up. They all lose a survival point. And they look... Todd kind of blinking, his eyes blurry and got a little blood running down his forehead. And he's like,
oh, no, man. Oh, man, my car. Oh, no, the cops.
Where'd they go? I don't see any lights.
Damn it, Craig, what are you talking about, cops?
And then suddenly light comes up through the car from beneath. There's glowing, weird, ephemeral lights, these balls, and they're like glowing, half-translucent balls of light that are like flickering and throbbing and different colors, purples and reds and blues and yellows, and all these weird lights that the colors are like beyond what the human eye can even imagine. It's just this ephemeral thing just coming up through the floor and the metal, but they feel it eating into their legs and their lower body as it just oozes up into them. Now, it has, open up that ability, it gets to make a risk check against them. They have to make a escape check with minuses because they are strapped into a car that is surrounded by this light. Came up from underneath them and is all around the car. So that's a big old nope. Is it, what's its attribute again? Yeah. Nope. So it won the risk check. So it is going to spend survival to increase the amount of survival points lost. So they each lose. Oh, it's increased to 2. They normally would lose 1. They each lose 2 points. They already lost 1 each, so that's 3. And it is also enveloping them, making it harder to escape. So now they get to attempt to escape again and roll even worse. And since it won that risk check, it'll spend another point, ratcheting the defense, the tension down even more. But that's all it took. And it completely envelops them, and they just disappear into the mass, screaming as they do. Now then, we're going to go back to Vanessa and Cindy for a moment. Remember, they were on foot, and they had walked over to a local ice cream shop, like a, what do they call those? A malt shop. To each get a milkshake, help clear their heads a little bit, especially Cindy's, as she had had a beer. And they're laughing a little bit. Things are a little better. And that's why the boys couldn't find them. But now they've left the shop and they're walking down the street and approaching First Street. They turn onto the street and they, Cindy's like, Vanessa, isn't that Todd's car ahead? What? What? And they see the car with a little smoke rising up from the hood. Todd! Oh no! And she runs over there as quickly as she can. She put her high heels back on. And she can't run so fast because she's in kind of a tight little witch's outfit. But it's over there and the car is like weird. He's not sure. I mean, it's his for sure, because it's got that chain hanging. He hung up this chain. It's his dad's dog tags. He died in Korea, and so he's got his dad's dog tags hanging from his rearview mirror. That's there. So it's Todd's car, but the paint's gone. It's like somebody just stripped the paint off, and all the rubber from the tires is gone. It's the seats have been stripped bare, just down to the metal. And it's like there's all this smell of fluids that have spilled out of the vehicle onto the road and into the gutter. And there's nobody in it. What's going on? Todd? Todd? This isn't funny. Where are you, Todd? Cindy's like, come on, Vanessa. We should go call the cops. Okay, but you let me talk to him. You still got a little alcohol in your breath, baby. That suddenly gives Cindy a little smile. Yeah. Right on, baby. Okay, so they're going to rush inside. Soon you know, I'm going to raise up the tension again. I hate using a D20 for tension, I can never find the number I want. They say use coins, but I didn't want to go and find coins to use. So got it raised up. Now, we're going to switch to the next scene where there's again the lights from a police car out front. And Gabriel wakes up. The lights are flashing in his bedroom window. And he's kind of looks out the window and he sees little ways down the street, basically right around the corner where you turn onto First Street from Blossom. There's a car and it's like smoke and like some hot rod down there got in an accident. Weird. Huh. Wait, is that Vanessa now? What is going on? And that same officer's out there interviewing Vanessa. Look, I'm telling you, officer, this is definitely my boyfriend's car. Right, uh-huh. And how do you know that? His dog tags. His dad. That's his lucky symbol. It's the one thing he has to remember his dad from. You know, he died in the war. And...
World War II?
No, Korea.
Oh, I get it.
Anyway, so... This is the weirdest thing. I mean, I left him at the party and he came looking for me, I know, but we had a bit of a fight, you see. And my friend and I, we went by the malt shop, you know, old Joe's malt shop.
Yeah, I know the place.
Okay. Yeah. So we stopped in there and got milkshakes. And so, I don't know, maybe he couldn't find us. I don't know. But we came home and, because Cindy was going to stay with me tonight, so I wouldn't be alone. You know, it's Halloween and all. And we found this. And so,
you have any idea what would have happened here? I mean,
no. I mean, I'm just a girl. I wouldn't know how this stuff works. But it's like, and I'm so going to get yelled at for that. This is a 1960s film. Come on, guys, give me a break. You know, I'm not sure how that would work or anything, but I'm sure Dr. Lewis, you know, our science teacher, I bet he really would have a good idea what's going on. Or maybe some of his friends over at the university, they might have a really good idea how this would happen. But, you know, I've seen some car wrecks before, but I've never actually seen one where the paint fell off, let alone the tires.
Actually looks like everything that's remotely organic's gone there, Cindy. Or, I'm sorry, Vanessa. And even the paint. He takes the keys out of the ignition and damn queer, that's for sure. Goes over to the trunk, pops it open. Even the carpet in the trunk's gone. Spare tire, too. Wow. I better call the sergeant.
Yeah, but what about Todd?
Well, I'll put on an APB. We'll keep an eye out for him. You just don't worry your pretty little head. You go on back home. And you stay indoors now. It is Halloween, you know. You don't want those ghouls to get you.
Oh, Officer Smith, stop that.
All right, Vanessa, you need us to walk you home?
No, I'll be fine.
Okay, you have a good night now. And if you hear from your friend, you let us know.
Oh, I will. I'll let you know first thing. That's for sure.
Boy, things really are peculiar on this street tonight. Halloween always brings out the crazy.
So where do we go from here?
Well, let's look at a card from Game Master's Apprentice and get some. It's got things you might hear or see or feel or smell. And I believe we'll move to a scene where you hear a faint buzzing and bloodshot eyes. A few blocks away, there's this old man sitting in an alley, sitting in a dark alley drinking half a bottle of wine and drunkenly singing some old tune to himself, hiccuping and burping all the way. He's dressed like an old dirty hobo with a beat up hat and brown jacket, and workman shirt, and dirty brown pants, and old boots that are like worn so bad that the front of the soles is ripped open so you can see one of his feet sticking out. This man's seen better days, but he's got himself a bottle of wine and he's, well, at least happy for the moment. You hear this weird buzzing and you slowly see some purplish red multicolored glowing down the alley. What's that? Ain't no bees out at night. You go away, bees. I ain't gonna share my wine with you. Oh, that's good stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's almost gone. Oh. Well, I got what I got for now. As you see from the view, like the point of view of the glowing lights as they move their way slowly low down the alleyway towards the wino, and then it pounces. Even before he can scream, it has enveloped him. No need to really roll for that. I'm just using that to ratchet up the tension some more. There we go. That's the number I wanted. All right. Actually, supposed to be even higher than that. Well, it's getting like 3 in the morning now. And Cindy's, she's got a ice pack on her head. Vanessa's pacing in the living room. Why, I told you, Cindy Lou, you shouldn't drink that stuff. Oh, come on, Vanessa. Don't be such a square. My head hurts. Yeah, because you drank one whole beer. What are you thinking? You know, that's the devil's drink. Wow. You really should. I don't know about you. You know, if you're not careful, you might just get kicked off the cheerleading squad. Oh, come on, Vanessa. Do we really need to do this now? I don't feel good. Oh, I'm sorry, Cindy. I'm just so worried. I mean, what happened to Todd? What happened to his boys? I really liked that Craig. Craig? Really? He's a meathead. Yeah, but he's a cute meathead. Oh, Cindy, you've drank too much. As they giggle in unison. Look, these movies weren't written well. Come on, give me a break here, okay? So, yeah. Well, who could that be? Oh, gosh. Actually, I realize you probably didn't even hear that. I was knocking. Foley effects are not my thing when I have noise suppression on. Anyway, so there was knocking at the door. Who could that be at this hour? Well, I better go find out, Vanessa says. And goes to the door, and there's a kind of a haggard-looking woman standing there. Well, hi, hello, Todd's mom. What can I do for you? Oh, Vanessa, you haven't seen Todd, have you? I know you had a date. He wouldn't be here, would he? Why, no. No, I haven't seen him in hours. Really? What happened? You mean he didn't come home? Well, no. So she'll bring her inside and have her sit down, offer her a cup of tea. No, I don't need a cup of tea. Just tell me, what have you seen from, when did you see Todd? What's going on? Well,
She'll explain how they had a bit of a tiff and that, you know, he had drunk some and...
Not my Todd.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry, Todd's mom, but yeah. No, everyone got a little wild party. I know Cindy and I came home and... Because, you know, we didn't want to get in an accident. And so Todd was all mad and he and his friends were, you know, yelling as we left. But then when we got home, because we'd stopped for milkshakes, of course, as you do. And when we got home, we found his car. It was, you know, down the street. But it had been in, you know, it was like hit a parked car. But it was, you know, all in a weird shape. It was like all the tires were missing and like the paint was stripped off. And what? Such things like that don't happen in this neighborhood. I know. But I mean, really, for sure, they were missing. I called the police and they were even baffled as well. But they came and towed the car away and I told them it belonged to Todd. I don't know why they didn't call you. I was sure they would. It was Officer Smith. You know Officer Smith. And he was going to call his sergeant, and they were going to look into this thing, and they were going to keep an eye out for Todd, too. Well, I was sleeping. Maybe they tried to call me. I am a heavy sleeper. My doctor gives me those sleeping pills so I can sleep. I've had such a hard time sleeping since... Todd's father never came home, and it's been hard on me. I know Todd's mom. I know.
Puts her arm around her.
But it's going to be okay. I'm sure that Todd's just, you know, off with one of his buddies, you know? They're off playing, like, Scrabble or something at one of their houses. I'm sure they're doing that, or maybe wrestling or something. Or, you know, maybe they just decided to call it a night and get some sleep. That I'm sure he'll come home right as rain in the morning. I hope so. Have you tried calling the hospitals? Why, no, it didn't even occur to me to do so. I sure hope that Officer Smith did something like that, though. Because, I'd hate to think that Todd's been hurt or something. Well, you said he'd been in an accident. Well, maybe. I mean, I'm sure it was his car. It had the dog tags hanging from the mirror.
Well, that surely was his car.
Yeah, I know. But maybe it was stolen and some mean man crashed it and then took the tires and ran off. But did they take the paint as well? Well, I don't know. It was all kinds of weird smells. Maybe, you know... Smelled like gas and oil, and maybe they like, I didn't really pay attention much in science, but I know you can like put stuff like solvents on paint, and maybe they poured that all over the car, and it ate away the seats, and it ate away the dash, and it like ate away the paint. Wow, yeah, maybe that's what they did. Boy, those darn gangsters. Boy, they really go out of their way to steal some tires, don't they? Yeah, they do. Oh, boy. Boy, I bet you Officer Smith thought of that, though, or certainly his sergeant did, and I'm sure they'll get right to the bottom of it. You don't think those gangsters got to my boy, do you? Oh, to Todd? No. No, Todd's the quarterback of the football team, remember? Oh, he could take a dozen of those gangsters, I'm sure. I've seen him fight. Boy, my boy doesn't fight. Oh, well. Okay, well, I've seen him get into a few squabbles at school. And, boy, I tell you, he can handle himself. He really can. You should be so proud of your boy. All right. Do you need us to take you home, Mrs. Todd's mom? No, I'll be okay. I'll get there on my own. Okay, you do that.
And she'll leave. But from the side of the house, out of the bushes, there's a weird glowing light and from the point of view from something down low, looking at the car as the lady, Todd's mom, gets into the car and drives away, and it slinks back in shadow. Okay, so what happens next? Let's draw for it. Oh, raise that tension again. Yeah. Come on, I can find that. There we go. Finding numbers is hard. All right, so gonna be sound of sniffling in a dark room, and then
shoo! Oh.
It's Gabriel. He has sneezed. Oh man. What's with that? Oh gosh, my allergies. What's with my allergies? Oh no. Why do I have these allergies to dust out of nowhere? Oh boy. Grabs a tissue and blows his nose. Okay. Oh, that's better. Oh boy. Oh, that crazy book. It must be it. It's so dusty and old. Oh. For a moment, it seems like the lettering on the book's glowing, but then not. Well, I must still be dreaming. Weird stuff going on. Oh. Well, hey, out the window. Isn't that Vanessa's light on? Yeah, sure is. Gonna go down over to the window and open the blinds a little bit, peek in. Oh, wow. Vanessa and Cindy Lou. Wow. Let's break out that bad habit of voyeur. But it's raining, so he's having a hard time seeing. Oh, man, I can't get a good view. Hey, I know. Her parents aren't home. My parents aren't home. She's got a trellis. Yeah. I bet. Oh, yeah. Best idea ever. So he's going to go put on his rain hat, throw on his dark green raincoat, and pull on his rain boots, galoshes, go stepping out the back door and come sneaking around the side. Now I got to make a check. Or obscure, hide in plain sight. Well, that's a 17, so he succeeds. And he's going to be able to climb up the trellis, all quiet-like, peek in that window, and very carefully so that she can't be seen, a little bit so he can look at them, and, oh, man, they're down to their bras. Oh, and let's see. A chill runs down his spine. Oh, boy, that rain seems cold. Oh, as he thinks to himself, oh, wow. And they turn off the light and both crawl into bed together. Oh, well, wow. That'll keep me warm tonight. Ooh. He climbs down the trellis. And let's see if he notices anything unusual. I'm going to draw for it. Alas, no. He does not notice the weird glowing light coming from the other side of the house. But he's going to go around the back, go in the back door again. And as he does so, nope, still rolling quite badly. Not noticing the weird glowing lights coming through the windows of Miss Grigsby's house. All purples and reds and blues and oranges and yellows and colors he would never have even been able to identify. Moves through the house. He'll go inside. Wow. Boy, Mom and Dad really are still out late. Well, you know, maybe I had the worst Halloween ever, but it turned into one of the best, and I think I need to celebrate. I'm gonna celebrate with a cold Coca-Cola. Pulls out a Coke right out of the glass bottle and pops that lid off. Mom would be so mad at me for having one of these in the middle of the night. Takes a nice long pull. What goes good with that? Oh, a ham sandwich. Yeah. We got to pull out the spread and the mayonnaise because, of course, mayonnaise. And a little bit of lettuce. He's beating himself a nice, big, thick sandwich. Have his Coca-Cola and a sandwich and maybe throw on the late movie. Oh, that's living. He gets to sleep in tomorrow, too. Wow. Then he remembers, oh, I'm supposed to mow Grigsby's lawn tomorrow. Oh, well, I guess not, huh? Wonder what's going to happen with that. Wow, he's actually gone. Okay, let's make another identify check. That time he just barely is able to pick up the sound. This weird, chittering, buzzing sound off to the south, over towards Grigsby's house. That's a weird... What is that? Is that bees? Middle of the night. What? Why are bees are never active at this time of night? He's going to look out the kitchen window that way, and yep. He doesn't see anything. Huh. Well, it's not my problem now. Guess she's going to need an exterminator. Well, guess whoever inherits the house is going to need an exterminator, I guess. Wow, that's so sad. Ugh. There's that chill again. Well, at least I got my sandwich and I got my Coke and I'm going to go watch my movie. And of course, it's like Dracula. Put that on. And shortly thereafter, fall asleep on the couch. Now then, where do we go from here? Ratchet up the tension just a little more as a little time passes and Gabe's parents come home. They come in the front door. And, wow, I can't believe we blew a tire on the interstate. Oh, what a... That's been gone so long and... Oh, will you look at that, Tom? Looks over and there's Gabe asleep, holding the Coke in one hand and about a quarter of the sandwich in the other. Sleep on the couch. The crackling static of a television station offline coming over the TV. She goes over and takes the Coke from his hand and takes the sandwich, what's left of it. Will you get him a pillow, Tom, and maybe a blanket from the linen closet, and we'll just let him sleep down here, huh? Sure, sure. I'm tired. I want to go to bed soon. Just give me a few minutes. I'll take care of this, and you get him some, you know, the pillow and blanket, and we'll go to bed in a minute. I promise. Okay. So, Gabe's dad's going to go upstairs and grab a pillow and a blanket. Linen cabinet. But something awry happened. Yes. I'm going to give him a 5 for that. Nope. Because it's got... Yeah. Actually, from upstairs, Gabe's mom hears a muffled cry and then a thump. Tom? Tom? Are you okay, Tom? As this weird glowing light comes down, is reflected down the stairs. There's a couple more thumps. He comes to the bottom of the stairs. Tom? Ah! She looks up the stairs and screams. This, of course, will wake up Gabriel. He awakes and sees his mom screaming and holding her face like a damsel in distress as the weird glowing lights come pouring down the stairs unnaturally, right towards her. And in amongst it is pulling his father down the stairs with it as he's enveloped in it. Kind of like the blob. She
does not make her her escape roll. No, not even close, as it slams into her and pushes her against the wall and over her, and her screams are muffled inside it as she starts to desiccate and melt. Mom! At his scream, the buzzing stops for a second and it chitters, and then it doesn't have eyes, but it almost seems to shift so that its attention is towards him, but it has no eyes, so it has no face. It's just this amorphous mass, but now it appears to be paying attention to him, and it just kind of throbs as his parents are just almost floating in the growing mass of this amorphous thing, and the carpet on the stairs and then the wooden stairs themselves are just dissolving into it as it flops down. When the stairs dissolve, anything organic it touches is just kind of, it wraps around the banister and it starts oozing over that. First the paint dissolving and then the wood itself, as it slowly just kind of flows towards him. Not rushing though, just almost flowing to stay on the floor as it's slowly eating the floor. Okay, so he has run for your lives. 9. I rolled a 9. What is its score for pursue? Well, it's only a 15. So, he books it into the kitchen and does a headlong run, rushes, busts out through the front, the back door, and into the backyard. Now, what does he think of? Gonna say yes. He thinks about Vanessa and Cindy. Well, Vanessa and Cindy, but more Vanessa. Oh God, I gotta tell Vanessa. We gotta get out of here. And he runs like crazy around the side of the building and jumps over the white picket fence into her yard. And okay, well, he's not trying to be quiet, so I don't know why I rolled that. He busts in through their front door. Vanessa! Vanessa! What? What? He sees from he gets to the bottom of the stairs and he hears a door open, and Vanessa's put on a nightgown and she looks down the stairs all bleary-eyed. It's like rubbing her eyes. And Gabriel? Gabriel, what are you doing in my house? Vanessa, we gotta go. There's a monster. Oh, Gabriel, I don't... Honestly, I didn't think you would be the type to throw a prank on Halloween. You're a Boy Scout, Gabriel. What are you thinking? Come home. Well, I can't. The monster just got my mom. It's like, Gabriel, get out of my house or I'm calling the preacher. But Vanessa, you gotta get, it's coming. You gotta get safe. And from behind Vanessa, a shoe flies down towards Gabriel. Let's see if he can dodge that. I happen to have dodge, but he only got a 12. The shoe hits him square in the chest. Cindy Lou chucks a mean shoe. He loses a survival point. And actually, I'm taking a survival point for sanity as well. That seems fair. Oof! As the air is knocked out of his chest briefly. Gabriel Meadows, you get out of this house! Heckums, I'm not gonna call the preacher. I'll call the police on you! He looks over at the window facing his house and he doesn't see the glowing. But it was there. Oh, Gabe, you've been watching too many scary movies again.
reading those comics again. Jeez, Aunt, you hang out so much with that, what's her name? Miss Grigsby. You hang out with that creepy old Miss Grigsby. No wonder you're having nightmares, Vanessa says. Hey, go home. Go home. You'll get some good sleep. You'll feel better in the morning, I promise. We all need to get some sleep. Okay, Vanessa. You be safe and you keep an eye out for it's weird lights. If you see weird lights, you gotta run. Bees, if you hear bees. Bees? I never, Cindy says. And he goes outside, closes it. He opens it up again. Lock this door after I leave. Closes the door again. Bees? Really? Glowing lights and bees. That one. He's so weird. Come on now, Cindy. He's a nice kid. Yet he's a year older than you. I guess so, but... Well, you know, he's a little weird, I guess. But he's nice. He means well. Okay. Bees. And they tee-hee-hee and go back to bed. Darn that, Cindy. Jeez, ow, boy, that shoe hurt. Oh, what am I going to do? He sees his parents' car out front. I know they were there. But I don't see it. Well, yeah, go back to the door and try and open it. But as he does, let's try to make a proper, let's make it a protect. Or actually more escape is probably more appropriate. That would be a 6. Oh, 14. Nay, he fails and falls in the pit. Right into the basement. Ah! Poof! Lands about 10 feet down onto the hard concrete floor below. Does he manage to get injured? Well, kind of hard to protect yourself from that, but I'll make an attempt to protect. 14 and 6. Well, yeah. He avoids the damage. So he does not lose a survival point for that, strangely enough. But he's going to be stunned for a moment. Oh, ow. What the heck? Oh, God! It was real! You know! He looks around. He doesn't see any glowing lights. But he also, the stairs are gone. The stairs up into the laundry room are gone. Oh, no. It's down in this dark basement. Oh, gosh! And he goes and runs over to the supplies and... Oh, man, I took all the candles for the spell. Oh, the spell. Oh, God, the spell. Oh, no, what did I do? Oh, geez. Oh, God, I got to stop this. How? Oh, geez. Oh, wait. And he runs to the back. There's a steps up that go into the backyard. One of those, storm doors. Storm shelter doors. So he'll go and open that up and get up into the backyard. Okay. Got to be able to get upstairs. The stairs are gone, man. So he runs around the side. Trellis. And he climb up this. That's a 6. 6. No. He's trying to climb up it and the trellis is... weak and it's starting to get break loose and he has to drop free before it comes loose. Oh gosh. Jeez, darn it. What am I gonna do? The book is up there. Miss Grigsby, maybe she has another spell book. So he's gonna run over to her house, runs up to the front door, grabs it. Oh darn it, they locked it. The cop. Oh frick those cops. I know, they're just doing their jobs, but how do I get in? I'm sorry, Miss Grigsby. He goes and breaks the window with his elbow, as he's seen criminals do on the cop shows, like on Dragnet.
knows to do that stuff. Oh, I hate that. He's going to reach in and try to unlock the window. Can he do it without cutting himself? Going to persuade the window to open. That is a 15. Yes, he manages to persuade the window open. He gets the lock and gets it open, and they can climb through. Okay. Really dark in here, but maybe... Oh, she's got candles on that weird table. He goes in there, and he kind of looks, and he sees the... His eyes are adjusting to the dark. There's some light coming through the windows. And he sees the spot where she was on the floor. The disturbed dust and the steps left by the paramedics and the police. Oh, wow. They left the groceries just laying there. Oh, man. I'm sorry, Miss Grigsby. I wish I could have done more. I should never have taken your weird old book. Oh, man. I hope I didn't cause any more trouble. Oh, my parents. Oh, man. Why'd that have to happen? I wasn't mad at them at all. Oh, man. I only said heck about them a few times. And he's going to go over to that weird table and see if he can get one of those candles and light it. He finds some matches and strikes one and lights up one of the candles. It's weird and dark, but he's used to using white candles, the standard paraffin ones. But this one's black and feels a little oily, but he lights the stub and it produces a lot of light in the room. Not a huge amount, but enough that it hurts his eyes for a second. And then in amongst the candlelight, he also sees this pulsing colored glow on the wall ahead of him. He kind of slowly turns, and it's there floating in the air behind him, just across the room. And it's just floating there. And it's got two skeletons in it. And they're like dissolving. Oh, God. Oh, God. There goes another sanity. Actually, I'm going to take two. And it spits something out onto the floor. And the goo that was on it quickly dissipates. And it's a book. An old leather book. With weird symbols on it, undamaged, and it throbs a little bit. And he's just staring. So it oozes down towards the book, and it shoves it across the floor, and it slides up to his feet, and it pops open as it does, up to some random page, and it throbs twice.
You want me to read from the book?
Rob.
I don't understand.
It shifts forward a little bit. Throb.
Okay.
And he takes the candle and it's pouring some black wax onto his hand. He doesn't even seem to notice it as he sets it down and he looks at the book and tries to make out the words and starts reading this gibberish. He's stumbling over the words. He doesn't know how to pronounce them. The thing throbs some more. And it throb. And it starts throbbing at weird intervals. Kind of in time with the way he's saying the words, and the buzzing is in his ears, and it's telling him things. It's telling him, and he's understanding, and the words,
I understand now, Grigsby. I understand it all. And so...
With the last of his survival points gone, we'll leave it there. I hope you enjoyed our little story tonight, Blood Demon from Dimension Zero. I hope you found it as not entirely boring as I did. I found it to be quite interesting. And very 60s, I would like to say I apologize greatly for all the horrible stereotypes I was portraying in this episode. That is not how I feel. I was simply trying to portray that style of movie for this episode. If I offended anyone, I greatly apologize. That was never my intention. That said, totally watch horror movies and bad sci-fi movies from the early 60s and late 50s. Totally, you'll get this vibe. Of course, I threw in a little Lovecraft there, especially towards the end. But yeah, that was just the way the story was leading, wasn't it? Anyway, I had a lot of fun with that. I hope you did too. And this was our annual Halloween episode of Ronin Role Playing. It's a special we do every year. And I really was looking forward to playing this game. Like I said, Dead of Night is one of my favorite, if not my absolute favorite horror game of all time. I love the system. It is so free form and so easy to run. And when you got a group that really gets into it, it is so good. Now, I know a lot of people said the last time we played it for Knights of the Tabletop, it was a little railroady. And yeah, I'll give you that. It was a little bit, but we also had time constraints then, and there was a story I was trying to finish in a certain amount of time. So we were hitting certain story beats at certain times, and yes, it did come off as a little railroady, and that was never my intention. I was just trying to hit certain beats, certain plot points at certain times. So I was hoping not to do that this time. I was just letting my imagination run with it and roll as necessary as the player and just tell a tale. I was going to go after Cindy, but I decided instead, let's just finish it up this way. Leave it open for the Blood Demon's return, perhaps on another time, but not next Halloween. Next Halloween, I already have plans for another game. I'm not going to, say which at this point, but if all stands to the way we're doing things now, if I keep to the schedule I have implemented, oh, it's going to be good. I am looking forward to playing that game. Oh, yes, it should be fun. But that's for next year. For now, I hope you enjoyed this special episode of Ronin Role Playing. I hope you have an most wonderful Halloween. And until next time, I'm Squirmy reminding you that if you can't play with your friends, you can always play with yourself.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you want more content like this, come on over to squirmy.com. We've got more podcasts, blogs, our own Discord server, and so much more. Also, don't forget to join us again next week as your intrepid guide Squirmy delves once more into the world of solo role-playing.